Today is a great and glorious feast of the Blessed Virgin Mary. She's finally at the end of her life. All of her labors and her terrible sufferings and crosses are finally over. And she goes to meet her divine Son in heaven and receive the reward of her entire life. She's so different from us. Most of us just dread to think of the day that we will die, especially people who live a life of sin. But she looked forward to it with longing her whole life. And we can imagine that especially after her Son ascended into heaven, she wanted it even more. She had nothing left here on this earth. It's true that she had her mission to help the infant church, and she had the apostles who needed her help and encouragement. But those were duties. She was happy to help out, of course. But she really missed her Son terribly, and she longed to see him in heaven. So we can just imagine the scene when she was finally received into heaven, according to tradition, on August 15th, so many centuries ago. The angels came to greet her, and then they just can't believe the glory that she has. They've never seen anything like that before. She is more beautiful than all of them combined, and they sing her praises. And then the saints come and welcome her as the Queen of Heaven. They're mostly the Old Testament saints, of course. But there are some recent arrivals, too, from the New Covenant. They're in the heavenly court. The Holy Virgins come and tell her that she was their great example in virtue. And then the confessors and the martyrs and other saints come as well, one at a time. Each group of saints sings her praises. By this time, St. James was probably the only one of the apostles who was in heaven yet, the Bishop of Jerusalem. And he thanks Our Lady in the name of all the other apostles that are still on earth for all the help that she gave them while she was on earth after our Lord's ascension. And the prophets of the Old Testament come up too, and they salute her as the fulfillment of the prophecies that the Holy Ghost inspired them to say. And the patriarchs of the Old Testament also tell her that she brought into the world what they wanted so much, the Savior of mankind. And then finally, Adam and Eve come and approach her, and they see the greatest of their children after our Lord himself. And they tell her how glad they are that she helped to repair the terrible harm that they did to the human race through original sin. And it is because of Our Lady's Son Jesus that they were able to be saved, because their sins were forgiven through the merits of his precious blood. There's no time with God. The redemption paid the price for the very first sin ever committed by Adam and Eve, just as easily as the sins committed the same day that he was crucified. And the last sin that anyone will commit on earth will have forgiveness available to it in the same way. And then the last saints of the Old Testament come and venerate her. Saint Simeon comes and thanks her again for the time that she allowed him to hold our Lord at the presentation. Saint Zachary and Saint Elizabeth tell her about the time that she came to visit them. And of course, their son, Saint John the Baptist, is especially grateful for that as well, because at that same occasion, he became a friend of God. He was cleansed of his original sin. She meets again her parents, Saint Joachim, whose feast we celebrate tomorrow, and Saint Anne. And they greet her not as their child, but as the Queen of the universe. But the greatest joy of all the saints is that of Saint Joseph, her holy spouse, as he greets her again. Saint Joseph was with her through so many joys and sorrows as they took care of our Lord together. As they think about all the sufferings they had on earth, they're just filled with joy now that their child is no longer suffering with cold in the manger. He's no longer working as a poor carpenter. He's no longer nailed to a cross. Now he is seated at the right hand of the Father as the King of heaven and earth. It was a terrible suffering for the Holy Family when each one of them died. First Saint Joseph and then our Lord. But now the three of them are united again forever. They will never be separated again from each other. Nor will they ever suffer any pain again, but they will enjoy each other's company forever. And together, Mary and Joseph will adore their son for all eternity. After all this, our Blessed Mother kneels before the throne of God, and she offers her adoration. And she is by far the greatest creature of God, but by herself and by her own power, she's nothing. All of her greatness is given her by God, and she thanks him for all of the graces that fill her soul. Her divine Son takes her hand and raises her up and places her on a throne in heaven, right next to himself. She has the highest place in heaven after God because she truly is the greatest creature. In fact, her holiness, in a way, is different from that of other saints because her holiness is something complete. With other people, even the greatest saints, they also committed sins and imperfections. And the good that they did was not always the best that they could do. They all could have loved God better than they did, no matter how much they loved him in life. It's like an exam in which you score very high, but you don't get quite a perfect score. Our Lady had a perfect score. She not only never committed any sin, but she was completely full of grace. And so full that she was completely incapable of receiving any more than she had. Every meritorious action that she did was done as well as it could possibly have been done. And out of every saint in heaven, she is the only one who can't look back to a single moment in her life and say, "I could have done that better." That's an amazing thing to think about. Not only did Our Lady never diminish the divine grace in her soul through sin, but she never even kept it idle. She never performed any action that wasn't meritorious and as meritorious as it possibly could have been. She corresponded perfectly with every grace that she received. And she received an incalculable number of graces during her life. Most saints have a specialty or a virtue that they were particularly good at because they received different graces. Some had the grace to work for the salvation of souls. Other saints had the grace of living a very penitential life or to suffer tortures and to die for the faith or to spend all of their time in a very exalted contemplation of God. In the very high levels of prayer. And with each saint, we try to learn from their particular example. But Our Lady excelled in every single virtue. She was like an apostle to the apostles. She was the queen of martyrs. She is the queen of virgins, but also the model for married people as well. She was not only perfectly innocent, but she also did great penance. So she really eclipses all of the other saints in heaven. Saint Basil explains it by saying that as the splendor of the sun exceeds that of all the stars united, so does Mary's glory exceed that of all the blessed. But remember that we want to be blessed one day ourselves too. And we need an example of virtue to imitate if we're going to save our souls. Well, here we are. If we are devoted to our Blessed Lady and we imitate her virtues, she will look upon us as her children. She will use her immense power with God on our behalf, and we need that. We need all the help that we can get to save our souls. No servant of Our Lady was ever lost. That's what the saints have said. So that makes it pretty clear what we have to do. We have to serve our Blessed Mother in this life and honor her as our Queen and as the Queen of Heaven, and imitate her virtues and ask for her help, and she will take care of us. And we will have a happy death like she did that we commemorate today, and then we will honor her and her Son for all eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.